The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CTN, CIO Talk Network, with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Now, here's Sunjo Gall.
Hello and welcome to this segment on CIO Talk Network. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalknetwork.com. And as always, we invite you to join the discussion on Twitter and look for this show as hashtag CDO and hashtag Chief Digital Officer. Today's topic is the state of Chief Digital Officer in 2016, and our guest for today's show is Nick Reddy. Nick is the Chief Digital Officer and Senior Vice President Information Services at Baylor Scott & White Health. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, great to have you. Now, we all know that 2014 was christened as the year of Chief Digital Officer, and I remember doing an event where we went and spoke about what this role is going to do, how are they going to make a name for themselves by contributing towards what a business wants them to do. So all of that said, when you look at the journey, like last few years of how it has actually been going, what do you think has been the value add a CDO can claim they provided?
I think over the last few years, as the role's been maturing, I think initially the role started with the question of how do we maximize the digital assets for a particular company, and I think the role took on a couple of different tangents. There's people that focused on quite a bit of the analytics that were generated from the digital age. There's folks that focused on the innovation side of things, relative primarily in the customer journeys, modernizing the consumer journeys in the digital age. And I think the role is slowly transitioning from those areas to really pushing the transformation within the organization. So it's sort of going from a technology disruption to a business transformation role, and that's sort of how I see it navigating. And to answer your question about some of the things that CDOs have done, I would say a lot of it over the last 2 to 3 years has been focused on consumer journeys, modernizing consumer journeys, making them more convenient, more real-time, more self-service, and using data and those conduits to drive insights for the business solutions. So that's the way I see it happening.
Now, so the fact that people thought where CDOs, chief digital officers, would really add value is where the rest of the world doesn't understand the digital. So does that need a modern mindset, knowledge of the tools, or a newly rethought strategy, which otherwise is not obvious to the people who come from the legacy technology or legacy business?
Yep, I think there's no question. There's a phenomenon of what got you here won't get you there.
I know that's a book.
I think most technology and business leaders that have spent the last 20 years getting to 2016 probably recognize that the future will be very different than the past relative to how they operate. I think the rules of the game are different. So absolutely, I think most progressive leaders in business have gone through an internal thought process of the art of possible. I would argue most people, I think, understand the potential of digital. They understand the competitive threat of digital. I think where they are is really trying to establish concrete plans and move in those journeys within their organizations. And this is not a skill set that exists in the marketplace in Apple. Not a lot of organizations have gone through the digital revolution because it's happening right now. So there's a lot of learning, there's a lot of experiments, there's a lot of pilots, there's a lot of bets. So the market is definitely evolving. But for most progressive leaders, including people in our organization, I would argue understand the art of possible here and are really pushing to have concrete, impactful experiments and scale those experiments within the organization.
So when we come from close to 2008 is when everything started crumbling and people wanted to first get the, hunker down and keep the lights on. And then we started recovering from it. And now we're saying that we want to at least start doing something new. Is that where you feel chief digital officer even seeing some play money made available to them? Because when you use the word experiment, it's unheard of in business, unless otherwise they are rolling in dough and they also have that propensity to take risk. Are people giving you the rope to be able to go do what you have to do to show something new, different, and more?
Yes, absolutely. I think good question. I'm sure there's variation in the marketplace, but from what I'm seeing generally and broadly, absolutely, there's most senior leaders and most executives and CEOs. I think if you do a survey of what's on their agenda, I would argue 70 to 80% across all industries will probably have digital or innovation or something to that effect, in their agenda. I think it's become a strategy for most people because the future is so dynamic and so unknown. So, and you are right, the economics and the cash flow of a business today does allow most businesses to make that investment. So we've been fortunate to get the three things that make a new initiative successful: executive support, to have the executive support. Number two is to have the resources or the commitment in dollars. And number three is the talent and the horsepower of the people doing the particular transformation. So all three of those have triangulated, I would argue, for us, and I'm seeing it's triangulated for most organizations. And when those three things happen, usually you see success and business impact. So absolutely, the timing is there in economics and American business today to make the investment and the support.
Now, so what you just mentioned, that they have the propensity, they are trying to do something new. But with that, are they keeping you on the edge by saying, I need to see some results versus pure sandboxing?
Yep. So good question. So absolutely, I think, it's what I call death by pilots or death by experiments is not the goal. How do you rationalize this, or how do you get ROI on some of these investments? So two or three ways are trying to pick items that have the promise of benefiting a business. Whether it's through growth, whether it's through convenience, whether it's through efficiency. So we are trying to place bets in not just exciting things or things that excite the crowd, but also things that have business value. So that's number one. So there is some amount of pressure because the intention is not to experiment. The intention is to experiment and then scale it and transform the rest of the business by learning from that experiment. So there is a healthy amount of fear, but there's also a broad recognition that if this is a business case driven initiative, you probably have a hard time justifying the business case at the onset of some of these innovations. Innovation, by definition, is the future is unknown, and we just don't know where it's going to manifest itself. So We're trying to do our best to quantify the future, but there's some amount of healthy amount of risk taking and assumptions and scenario based planning that we're approaching as well, which is a little bit on the qualitative side of things.
So, would you say there are any specific initiatives that you feel were digital initiatives, essentially, which have delivered some tangible value which CDOs can be proud of? It could be in your organization or anywhere else where you can say, "Oh, wow! Because of CDO coming in and thinking and rethinking how business could be done, we transformed, we increased value which was not seen before, or any other type of value that was delivered."
Yeah, I would say absolutely yes. I think there's areas. I'll point to two to three areas. First is this area of analytics. I think the ability to capture, mine, and more importantly, predict what people want. A lot of times before they want it, before they need it, or target to certain consumers, I think is an area that is shaping out to be pretty interesting. I think there's a lot of companies that do quite a bit in that space. It doesn't surprise people when you get an alert is a sort of a push notification anymore, right? So, and a lot of that analytics, I think, is a good success story. I think the businesses of the future will be algorithm-based, will be scientific, more scientific around data versus artistic. Here's the products or solutions or services we build. Please come buy. I don't think it's going to work. I think targeting and consumer segmentation. So I think there's some good success stories there. Just also convenience to a customer. We've done so many things on how simple life has become, whether it's ordering a coffee at Starbucks or whether it's ordering a cab or, the on-demand services and just ability to do certain things in financial industries, ability to do video visits and televisits in healthcare industry. The power of just navigating a consumer journey, what you used to be able to do, in 2005 and what you can do today is frankly something we couldn't have imagined. So the consumer journeys and the convenience and the simplicity of them and giving people access to what they need quickly, I think is something that they would take pride in as well. So those are the two areas kind of I would point to where there's the most amount of focus and value that the team has delivered.
So if you were to look at the disruptions that you mentioned, like this, the way we hail a cab and like Uber is what we're referring to, or any other such similar applications in different worlds, we've seen that has come out of, it's almost like an entrepreneurial venture which fundamentally thought digital versus an enterprise wearing that creative destruction approach.
Yep.
Yeah. So the CDO, would you think you would be given the freedom to say, okay, here I come, I bring you this idea while I'm not starting a business, but I want it to fundamentally destroy what you have in order for it to for us to create something. So that leap of faith is an organization, a regular legacy organization taking, and are you able to convince them?
Yep. So, good question. I call this the cannibalization effect. So, in most cases, if digital is as successful as promised, there is usually a negative repercussion to the core business. And I think that's a broad generic statement. I mean, it apply to everybody, but there is a new world that impacts the old world negatively. And there's millions of examples that I think we can walk through. There's traditional examples, how we do music, how we watch videos. There's just quite a bit of examples to make that argument. So I think to answer your question, in large enterprises, I think the way people are looking at this is they're looking at digital as a couple different things. I think first they're looking at it as the right thing to do. because it is a better, a more contemporary way of serving the marketplace, number one. Number two, there's a healthy amount of fear around this, because if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. So there's a healthy amount of fear that's driving this internally. So I think it's a balance. I think about large PC manufacturers when they're producing computers in an era where people are buying mobile phones and tablets. The reality is the more mobile phones and tablets you buy, the less PCs you sell. But if you don't produce cell phones and tablets, somebody else will do it and they'll steal the market share anyway. So your core business can either be threatened by yourself or by somebody else in the marketplace. So that's the way I think most executives are, which is we can treat this with a healthy amount of fear, understand the trade-offs that will happen when we go to digital and operate in a new model. It's new economics. It's a new way of disrupting business models, and it's just another market force that we would have to deal with. Not dealing with it doesn't protect you. It exposes you more because you're less educated and you're more exposed to competitive forces, we believe.
So let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And let's compare, or rather, let's evaluate the contrast between a regular business leader and a business executive who's paid to make incremental growth, or maybe some taking some quantum leaps, but not losing the very ground on which they developed this whole enterprise. And here comes the CTO, the mindset where we say that we are going to experiment. We would like you to be paranoid in a healthy way and let go of what you have built so far. So while it's easier said than done, what's the magic trick that CDOs are playing in order for them to change the mindset of those very top leaders so that they give them the blessing and the sponsorship and dollars to make the reality happen, or what they never thought was possible? Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back and explore.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
You are listening to CTN, CIO Talk Network, with Sanjo Gal. To learn more about our program, please visit CIOTalkNetwork.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. So here is management who all get together. They've been working on this business for years, working with Wall Street to figure out how to keep their stocks up. I'm just taking public company, for example. And then here comes the CDO, says, you know what, whatever was the basis of you making those millions of dollars for the company and for the shareholders, keep that aside for a second, and let's rethink and see if we can totally annihilate what was created and come up with something brand new, because that's going to promise you, I've got no guarantees, but it's supposed to give us a promise of better future ahead. Really? How would you make that happen? I'd be curious.
Yeah, I think as you can speculate, I think this is definitely a people issue. We believe in behavioral economics around this. So if you take the most senior leaders of any company, most of them get it. Most of them get the possibilities. Most of them get the trade-offs that we need to make. From the legacy business to the new business. But if you have business unit leaders that are incentivized and that have large business units that they're maintaining, and frankly that helps pay that helps keep the balance sheet in check, it's a very hard thing for them to switch and things of that nature. What we're trying to do, obviously, I think two or three things. One is drive some sense of incentives internally to do this, number one. Number two, the experiments we're doing are allowing us to convince, in most cases, irrefutably, that doing business a different way could be economical and could work in the digital world. We might have to set ourselves up differently. Really good examples in healthcare, you know, how you do, a patient that comes into a doctor's office, and if the compensation for that patient is X, the same patient that does a virtual visit, whether it's through video or whether it's through an e-visit, the compensation is, X minus 50%. And so the question really is, how can you, in a business that's operating at a 2-4% margin, how do you operate in an X minus 50% margin? What is the incentive for you to do that? So, it's really setting up the new business to where, really giving them enough data to say, this is really the new working principles and how we need to set it up and shifting to that business model. And the reason they would do it, I would argue, first, once again, I think there's a healthy amount of competition. If you don't do it, somebody else would, and the business will leave the enterprise anyway. Holding on to the legacy will not protect the legacy for a long period of time. So I think that's there. There's some behavioral incentives, and at a senior level, most executives are really sponsoring to push this and build these new business units. That operate a little bit more lean and operate in a little bit more unique fashion, because the transition from the legacy to new, I believe, in some areas will take a few years, 5 years, or sometimes even up to a decade. This is not an overnight switch. It's easy for companies that have started as a digital business, they don't have the legacy business to worry about, but it's harder to go through the transition for large enterprises.
So what all you mentioned, if you notice, the CDO has been positioned in the organization with, of course, a skeleton staff, and the places where you want to bring about changes are the ones where you can at most influence. You cannot control. So you talk about technology, you got to go to talk to the CIO's group. If you want to go to make some changes in the business processes or rethink all of those, then you have to go to the unit business unit leaders. What empowerment do you think you have as in a role, or what has been developed over the years so that you are able to realize what you are helping everyone else dream?
Yeah, a good question. I think relative to empowerment, I think you are right. There's quite a bit of collaboration, whether it's with the CIO's organization or whether it's with the different business unit GMs, because that's where really the magic happens. So it's operating through influence, which, by the way, I think is fine. I would argue it's probably the right way to set it up. Given the state of the union in this space, it makes the job a little bit more difficult. It really highlights the strength of your relationships. It really brings executive commitment into focus. Do we really want to do this or not? And so from an empowerment perspective, most of the empowerment for us is coming from a senior level folks. And obviously there's a healthy amount of dialogue and a healthy amount of friction and tension that happens when you get to business units and working with CIOs. That's a challenge. No question. This is a classic transformation issue. Do we have a burning platform to do this? I think once you convince people of having the burning platforms, the example that I gave around virtual visits, the reality is, healthcare used to be a very local business. You had local hospitals and local clinics. Today, it's not a local business. It's a national business. So an entrepreneur in California can develop a virtual visit and literally navigate our patients to that particular digital portal. Right? So we see that shift happening. And when you walk through the numbers and when you walk through the trends and then you walk through the amount of activity that's happening, that's really attacking the core of our business. I think business unit leaders are astute enough to at least allow us to experiment and allow us to walk through economics of how we can help them shift, because they are seeing slow movements in their core business.
If you were to really identify the core responsibilities and the key value proposition of a chief digital officer, is that primarily to dream and or to make connections between the dots which other people don't seem to be able to figure out? Is that what purely... So you are an artist, would you say, or you come from a scientific approach for you to say, okay, if you do this, this is going to happen and this is why?
Yeah, I think good question. There's no doubt in my mind we have to have a sense of vision around the art of possible, and then we have to be able to dream what we could do. But I see that, you know, as really something that's behind most CDOs. The job would not have been created if someone did not paint that picture in your organization. Our job would not have existed, I would argue. I think the dreaming for the most part has been done. I would argue a lot of it now is becoming scientific. It's taking a strategy. It's having strategic areas. It's analyzing those areas, talking about opportunities, prioritizing them. It's selecting solutions and creating a ecosystem of solutions that seamlessly orchestrate for that particular problem, and then driving to experiments and helping it scale, whether scale is the business unit leader's responsibility or the CDO's responsibility depends. But I see this more than dreaming. I see this as a relatively, scientific execution responsibility as well in several cases. In some places also have responsibility for having P&L for some of these solutions and products that are being developed in the CDO office.
And so you are part dreamer, part scientist of sorts, where you are bringing empirical data to convince people. And you are right that somebody must have championed your role in. So all that happening and you incrementally finding a foothold in the organization, would you say in 2006 you have planted yourself well as a role within the organization? And if yes, then where are you seeing your incremental growth? So how will you further solidify, or how will you further incrementally or in a quantum fashion bring growth to the organization beyond what you've done, the obvious things you could have done?
Yeah, a good question. As I said, I think the role is slowly, at least from where we're seeing, is translating into a certain set of digital capabilities to innovation, to a sense of transformation, because most transformation has a heavy digital angle to it, along with business process and people transformation. So we're seeing the role evolve into that. one of the things that is really interesting is the role of technology. I think it is continuing to rapidly mature and develop. I believe the next 10 years will bring a rapid pace of technology change than the last 10 years. I think the real disturbances in the force, the cognitive technology, the automation technology, the machine learning technology, the genetics and healthcare are really, frankly, just still baking in the oven, and the temperature hasn't hit. Those have significant implications to the business. I mean, automation of what we do impacts every single person we employ. Cognitive thinking of genetics, precision medicine. So some of these things that are coming in the pipeline are frankly have a bigger impact to our business than what we've seen in the last 10 years. Frankly, I think the last 10 years has been relatively simple. It hasn't been complex technology. It's been mobile. It's been web. It's been a little bit of big data, things of that nature. It's technology that most people understand. But the next 10 years, I think the implications will be pretty significant.
So let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And now let's look at the application of Chief Digital Officers' capabilities and the team that they're putting together. Which industries are most suited to go through this transformation? And even incrementally, they could see fundamental creative destruction in coming years. And what are the type of things that a CDO is doing today to lay the foundation related to it? Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back and explore.
Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in government, the legal arena, and the business world impacts your business every day. And we're going to take you on a behind-the-scenes tour of it all. Each week, we'll bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers and leaders. Squire Patton Boggs will be your guide as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join us for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Channel each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
You are listening to CTN CIO Talk Network with Sunjo Gall. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. So, which industry do you think, or which industries do you think are the ones who would have the most value that can get created for it if they were to hire a CDO and also a team related to it?
Yeah, good question. I think any industry that is that has consumers that have the ability to make choices, that have a manual data oriented functions or processes, are industries that are ripe, I think, for this. So I look at finance and what's happening in the financial industry. I think they're investing heavily. They've always been mature electronically, and if you think about the amount of transactions that they do within their walls and the amount of virtualization that's happening, a simple task of depositing a check that we used to all go to a bank and do doesn't happen there anymore. And it's that's a very manual, inconvenient thing. Now it's a self-service thing that happens virtually. So I look at that industry. I look at healthcare. I think healthcare is can get the most amount of value. Healthcare is very, very data intensive. You know, when a patient walks into our door, you know, we capture 40 to 80,000 elements about that patient. And how do we now, keep them healthy? How do we now make sure they're following their care protocols and things of that nature? And quite a bit of that, as you can speculate, is manual in nature today. So there's quite a bit of opportunities there. Those are the two industries. And once again, I put all industries will have an implication here. Can't think of an industry, whether you're manufacturing or whatever have you. But I think there's two or three industries that really will get the most amount of value from inserting a capability like this to do their transformation.
So you did mention about your relationship with technology leaders in order for you, and which is important for you to realize all the dreams that we have with respect to digital. So CIOs and even chief data officers who come from a totally different realm, they all have to work together with you in order to make this journey be a fruitful one. What is it that they are looking at you for? Because they could say, we could dream, or we could hire some dreamers within our group versus having somebody as a peer. So how's that relationship and camaraderie building coming along?
Yeah, I think good question. There's no doubt in my mind that there's overlap between the executional capabilities of a CIO and executional capabilities of a chief digital officer. One of the things that we talk about internally is, if you're a CIO for an enterprise, most of your responsibility was around providing solutions to business unit leaders and serving the business unit leaders in accomplishing their goals. That was your fundamental role for a long time. That's just what CIOs did. And that's changing. And it's changing for industries. For a long time, the technology that's being produced is actually being used by your consumers more than your employees. The technology that's being developed is actually the value proposition and is the product that's being sold to the marketplace. So there's quite a bit of overlap between those two functions. I think there's multiple ways you could structure it, organize it, negotiate it between the CIO and CDO. I think the two or three ways that could work, depending on the appetite of the organization. One is you could have a CIO that manages IT infrastructure and IT applications and give all of the digital functions to the digital officer. That's one way to do it. Sort of a split between traditional IT and newer technology and mobile and analytics and things of that nature. The second way you could do it, or actually the other extreme is what we did in our organization is we actually kept all of the delivery in the IT organization because there's a significant amount of overlaps and capabilities and we wanted to get scale. And the CDO really spends time thinking, time executing and articulating and doing analysis of the projects. But the actual execution of the work happens in the IT arm. So we kept that together fundamentally just to drive scale within large organizations. So sort of the two extremes, and obviously you could do a hybrid and do different splits, but it depends. I come from the IS organization. I was a senior VP in IT myself personally before I came to the digital role. So I did not see a need to split, had good relationships. As long as the work gets done, where it gets done and who does it is less relevant. As long as the KPIs for digital are being met is the way we looked at it.
So question for you. Do you think you are, as a role, Chief Digital Officer, better connected to the CEO in terms of your reporting relationship because you're helping them not just with the how, but what we should be doing versus being under another C-level executive, which could be CFO, or any other operational or CIO for that matter, for you to be, most effective in terms of getting the job done, not just be able to dream?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't recall the data point, but I think most CDOs do report to the CEOs, and I think that is a recommendation given all of the things we talked about in this session around the internal competitive threat that it is requires a senior executive to sponsor it and not be under a business unit leader. I think I personally report to our system COO who has the charge from our CEO to make innovation and make digital a reality. So I get as much support from him. I think it's less, at least, I understand the CXO concept, CFO or CEO or COO. I think it's less about which title you report to, and it's frankly not that relevant. I think what's more relevant is the person you're reporting to, their particular influence base in the organization, their particular ability to champion this in the organization, I think is more relevant. So you could report to CEO and the CEO may not have an innovation or digital agenda. The thing will fail anyway. So I think the X is not that relevant in the CXO, at least from our perspective. I think what's more relevant is the person you're reporting to. Can they seriously influence people the different levels? And number two, can they seriously take this and make it reality? Can they go to the board and navigate this conversation? Can they drive investment? Can they negotiate trade-offs with different leaders, things of that nature. That is more relevant, and that's what we in our RCO represented that for us, and that's where my personal role is.
So on the surface, it looks like life is good for a chief digital officer because you are impacting the top line growth. You're getting the blessing from the CEO and typically a mandate to anyone else who works with you to give you all the support because you're going to help fundamentally transform the organization only to take it forward. All that said, let's inventory the challenges that you feel you have, which are undermining your otherwise the potential that you can bring to the table. Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back and explore.
Get a unique and playful insider's take on the biggest stories in tech, media, and entertainment. Join Laurie H. Schwartz, well-known technology catalyst, comedian, and geek girl, as she and leading experts in the media and content business dive into the biggest stories in technology trends, consumer behaviors, and its impact on Hollywood. If you're looking to respond to the tech-fueled changes in the marketplace, then tune in to the Tech Cat Show, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Business and syndicated to Voice America Women's Channel.
You are listening to CTN CIO Talk Network with Sunjo Gall. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. So let's talk challenges with respect to your being able to add the value that you were brought in for.
Yeah, I think the three challenges I would say. First, I think there's a lot of benefits in working and being a digital officer for a large system. Primarily because you understand the business and you understand the market and you know how to get there. But I think being aligned to a large system, you also take on, the attributes of a large system. So the speed becomes a problem. When you're in large enterprises, your processes and some of the things that the organizations have built over a period of time to mature their thinking end up slowing you down. So you can't move at the speed of an entrepreneur, even though you would like to, and even though you're measuring yourself against that, and you're trying really hard to do that, trying to be different, trying to be an internal incubator, things of that nature. But speed, I would say, is a challenge. I think the second challenge is the question that you asked me earlier around, there's a hesitation in most people's mind around what this is, what this could be, how this could the inability to quantify this into direct business results because of the dynamic nature of what this is creates a sense of ambiguity that makes it hard for people to follow or people to champion or. So you campaign a lot. You push uphill a lot. So that does happen at certain levels, irrelevant of what sponsorship you get. I think the there's a public and a private conversation. So I think publicly we could all agree innovation is great and, it will change the business and digital will be the way you do it. But privately, I think when people look at this, they have a hard time quantifying this or baking it into their plan. So I think that's the second challenge. The third challenge, I would argue, is at least for us as talent, it's a hard space to recruit and keep talent. The marketplace is ripe with opportunities. It's ripe with interesting compensation models. If you're really really good at this space, it allows you to. Start a company and get equity or you could work for a system like ours. Just a lot of options for you to consider. So talent and recruiting and retention of talent becomes a challenge for us. So that's sort of, I would say, are the three challenges that we need to work through.
Now, given your own role as the Chief Digital Officer, everyone else looks up to you to figure out a way where to go next. Where do you go for your inspiration and your learning?
Good question. I learn quite a bit from the marketplace, and I think the single biggest influencer of motivation for me is the American entrepreneur, and I interact with them a lot. There's thousands of them. Some of them are attached to incubators, some of them are attached to JVs, some of them are just attached to their garages, but just talking to them, listening to them, understanding their thinking around where they see the problem and how they're attacking the problem with almost an attitude of nothing to lose. I just get inspired by American entrepreneurs. It's they're an unstoppable force, and so that's really where I get inspired and I get optimistic, and so that's my source of motivation of possibilities and the ability to take risk and put everything on the line and sometimes not have it turn your way. So that inspires me. Our leaders in our organization are extremely supportive. They are allowing us to fail. It's okay if an experiment fails, and that's as simple as that sounds. That's a hard thing to allow people to do.
So one of the things is
to fail.
Yeah, and to that, of course, there are two things. One is the how, and another is the what or why we are doing it. So what and why is where you're getting inspired from these entrepreneurs and the CEOs of other companies or your own organization. But then when you look at the how part, do you think you feel you have the background because you're starting something brand new and the way organization has been working all along, you can at most give them advice but cannot say that you're a master yourself given the entrepreneurial approach to doing something versus being an intrapreneur or changing making a big elephant take a turn is totally two different animals.
Yeah. Good question. You're right. I think it's, even writing a job description for a CDO becomes difficult, right? So let alone having a methodology and an approach and a proven track record of doing it. It makes it very challenging. There's not a recipe book, to follow. Acknowledged. We're trying to use proven techniques and guiding principles and most importantly common sense to develop an approach. That's sort of what we're hanging ourselves to. For example, there's certain proven techniques, around how would you evaluate something quickly? Does it do this and this, right? So we're developing approaches around we have to have an evaluation criteria, that follows these four guiding principles, things of that nature. So we're trying to use some proven techniques in the past. We're using guiding principles like fail fast, if you're going to fail, to where we get results back in 60 to 90 days. So we're using some of that approach to bake our methodology, trying to be scientific where we can be and trying to be intelligent enough to know you can't be scientific in these places. You have to be artistic. So there's judgment calls or what I call trump cards that we're using to make decisions. There is not a recipe book for this. And I think it will take about a decade or two to get out these recipe books for how to do some of this work.
If you're going to go out and try to become a clairvoyant or a person who's got a crystal ball, what do you think is ahead of us, at least what you can see, and what are you doing to prepare? What is a chief digital officer doing? So do you have to do double duty in terms of dreaming, or you have to even transform yourself to be ready for the future? Because the things are moving fast, they're changing in a totally unpredictable manner, and nothing was happening earlier is being even seen as going to happen in, say, next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I think really good question. Yeah, absolutely. If I were to see the future, I think the the future vision is going to continue to change, primarily because of the dynamic nature of the marketplace and what's happening with the maturation, rapid maturation of technology, what's happening in the competitive landscape. I do not believe there is a destination for a chief digital officer anytime in the near future. I don't see any industry saying putting a mission accomplished banner and saying we got to where we got to. I think there's a constant sense of movement and a constant sense of enhancement. So I think there will be a continuous push towards, how does this technology impact what we're doing? How does this competitor, really shift our consumer segments and solutions? So I think that activity will continue, I would say, for at least 3 to 5 years, depending on what industry you're in. So I think the job is to continue to read the market, continue to vision, I think there's definitely that. The second thing is materializing some of these dreams will be a big part of the digital officer. So, okay, if here's the dream and here's the PowerPoint about that dream, how do you make that real? Some of these dreams haven't come true yet, right? So I think there'll be an execution role that a lot of CTOs will take and will be, maniacal about, developing products and solutions and managing it in that way that can help their enterprises and business. So I see those two continuing for the near future. When I look further out, it's hard for me to think past 10 years, but within 5 to 10 years, I am absolutely convinced that most industries will shift significantly on the way they serve their consumers and the way they operate. I think most of digital today is focused on consumers. I think you'll see digital impact internally within an organization and fundamentally start removing costs and changing, automating the way they do things and things of that nature. So I see the digital applying to more than just a few segments today, like data or consumers or whatever have you. I think it will have a more pervasive nature to it.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, really like to thank you, Nick, for taking the time and sharing with us what's the state of CDO in 2016 and, in fact, even beyond. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And listeners, hope you enjoyed the conversation, learned about what Chief Digital Officer is up to and what they're going to be doing in coming years. Please like us on Facebook, join our LinkedIn group, search for CIO Talk Network, and please be sure to follow us on Twitter. Thank you again for listening to this segment on CIO Talk Network. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CTN, CIO Talk Network, with your host, Sanjog Gall. To learn more about our program or for show archives, comments, or questions, please visit CIOTalkNetwork.com. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.